Beneath the layers of wealth in San Francisco's affluent suburb of Marin County, novelist Don Carpenter sees impoverished, desperate souls. From a distant place, Carpenter's ninth novel chronicles the sad lives of people who appear to have it all. He's also written for television and the movies. He wrote the screenplay for the 1973 film Payday that starred Rip Torn as a hard-luck country singer on his last binge. Carpenter grew up in Berkeley and has spent his adulthood chronicling life along the West Coast. But as a young writer, staying in the West wasn't the obvious choice.
When I was a kid, of course, like every other writer in America, I looked to New York. I thought that was the capital of things, and of course it was. And there's a choice for a young writer. You can either go to the capital, you know, put your belongings in your handkerchief and head down the road, and go to the capital and try to make it in the world of literature, or you can stay home, wherever you are, like Faulkner did, and a lot of others, and try to work it out from there, and try to write about what you see around you, and paint, you know, and not listen to the siren song from the east. And that's what I ended up doing, although I never really made a clear decision to do that.
Mm-hmm. From a Distant Place is set in Mill Valley, which is a bucolic town in what is probably one of the most affluent counties of the country. Yet it's a story of disintegration within a family that, for all intents and purposes, seems to have everything else that the rest of mainstream America is striving for. I'd like for you to read a bit from A Distant Place, your new novel.
Sure.
And if you could set up a bit about the character of Jackie Jeminovsky and the scene we're about to hear from the beginning of the book.
Well, Jackie is a woman who everyone thinks has it made because she drives a Jag and she lives in a four-bedroom suburban house. And she's, even though she's middle-aged, she's 45, she has kept a quite marvelous appearance. And so from the outside, just like Marin County and just like California, she looks great. Has it made? In fact, people are even envious of her, but the truth is somewhat different.
Hmm.
And that's what I write about all the time. So I'll just read this little segment. Jackie was crazy to go on living in that big house. Four bedrooms and nobody came home anymore. She'd thought about renting out a couple of rooms, but her pride got in the way. I am just too screwed up for roommates, she thought. But the fact was that she liked to start out her day with a bottle of Green Death, Rainier Ale, which was practically harmless. But she knew it gave her bad breath and people thought less of you. When men stayed over, she either skipped her ale or for some reason they would both have something to drink. Men liked to take women, especially good-looking women, out to breakfast after a night together. Show them off to the boys, lined up at the bar nursing their hangovers. She liked to go to Perry's down in Mill Valley and start the day off right with Eggs Benedict and a Ramos Fizz. But that was only on weekends, and it had been a while since anybody had stayed over anyhow.
Alcohol plays a role as a character in this book. Jackie progressively...
Well, alcoholism sort of serves as an objective correlative for dysfunction.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I used it that way, I don't want to get technical, but the reason I used it was because I'm an alcoholic myself. And in the course of this book, although the main character is a woman, who the alcoholic in the story is a woman, her trip through alcoholism is actually the same, pretty much the same trip that I took in my own downhill slide several years ago. And I wanted to get that on paper, but I didn't want to write about a writer who is a drunk. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What led you to drink, to become an alcoholic?
Well, I started drinking when I was 13, and looking back on it a million years later, I realized that I drank to cover myself. I didn't get along easily with the other kids. I had a lot of ambition, and I wanted to be in the heart of things, but it wasn't working for me. But if I was drinking, if I was drunk, it didn't matter what I did. The alcohol would be blamed for it. And then, it becomes a habit. It becomes a situation where you never go to a party without getting drunk.
And, of course, one of the great myths is that you can write when you're drunk.
I've never tried that. I've never tried that. I've written a lot with hangovers. But writing when you're drunk is a lot like writing when you've been smoking marijuana or snorting cocaine. It seems great at the time, but you look at it sober the next day and it's garbage.
You spend part of your day going down to the bookstore and coffee shop that's in the center of Mill Valley, and I've heard this described as your office.
Actually, it's my living room. I make a point of, after I finish writing in the morning, I will walk down the hill to the depot, which is the coffee shop and bookstore, and talk to people. Or if there's no one there that I know, I just sort of sit among the voices. You can't isolate yourself too much. And if I stayed home 24 hours a day, which I did for several years, you really get strange.
Do you find yourself inspired or overwhelmed or intimidated or protected by the fact there are shelves and shelves of books all around you?
Yes, very much so.
All of them?
It's not just that there are shelves and shelves of books all around you. It's that there are shelves and shelves of great books. It's sort of like being a teacher of literature and trying to write yourself. A teacher of literature is faced every day with the greatest writers in the world. And then he goes home and he tries to write his own stuff. And it's a terrible, terrible comparison, and it's very much overwhelming. Like, never read James Joyce the night before you write. It's going to kill you. Same with Hemingway. You end up writing like these guys, and then, of course, you have to throw it away.
You lived in San Francisco during the Beat era, the era of black turtleneck shirts and black jeans and jazz in the clubs and espresso.
Oh, yes.
How have you seen the writing environment of the Bay Area change? Do you meet more people in the Bay Area who are faux writers than in the 50s, or is the proportion about the same?
Well, there are many, many more writers now. But during the part of the Beat period that I was involved in, the early and middle 50s, North Beach was a paradise for young writers because nowhere else was. If you were a young poet living in Wichita, Kansas, you were accused of being a homosexual and a communist and whatever pejoratives I can think of. But when you came to San Francisco, you were greeted by other poets. And it was really exciting to go into the City Lights bookstore in 1952 or 1953. But this drew a lot of writers to the Bay Area, and yet still to this day, there is no literary community in San Francisco. Many of the writers know each other, but they don't hang out together. There's no place for them to go, and we like this because the opposite is New York, where the literary world is concentrated. And in New York, everything is ranked. You are judged quite coldly in terms of whether you're critically acceptable or financially acceptable.
Do you feel any need to get out of town from now to again, sort of refresh your eyes, or are you...
This trip from Mill Valley to San Francisco was quite wonderful. This morning, a 20-minute ride across the Golden Gate Bridge is magnificent. But if you mean the way a student would get out and see the world in order to write about it, I've already done that. And I don't think you can go out deliberately, you know, and take notes on life. Years ago, Norman Mailer was in danger of going to prison for an incident with his wife. And I wrote to him and I said, well, at least if you go to prison, you'll know that you're going to write the greatest prison novel of all time. And he wrote back and said, if I did that, I'd be going tourist, and it wouldn't be a good book at all. And that makes a great deal of sense. You can't be a tourist in life and still write about it. You've got to actually be there.